As they're making their way out, I'd like us to open our Bibles, please, to the book of John, the Gospel according to John, chapter number 6. And we're going to read a couple of verses. John, chapter number 6. And we're going to read from verse 60. John, chapter number 6. And we're going to be reading from verse number 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" Verse 62. "What then if you see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who will betray him." Verse 65. And he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" Father, Lord, as we go into your word this morning, breathe upon your word again. Lord, let your word come alive unto us as your people. Bring illumination into our heart through your word. Let there be hope given to the hopeless, encouragement given to the discouraged, empowerment given unto us this morning. Lord, let our weakness be exchanged for your strength. I ask that you anoint the ears and the hearts of your people to receive the word as it's going to be delivered this morning. Let it drop as the rain and let it distill as the dew of the morning. I ask that you anoint my tongue and you make it like the pen of a ready writer, Lord, such that your word will flow out of me like streams of living water. Let it come out in accuracy, let it come out in power, in simplicity, in the love, and in the comfort of the Spirit of the living God. So that all of us this morning will get transformed by your word more and more into the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name, and the church say, amen. In this season in our family, I have this awesome responsibility of taking our girls to school in the morning. I said in this season because over the years, my wife and I, we have had to share that responsibility depending on what, who is doing what, and the schedule at work and stuff like that. And this season has been going on for a while, such that I drop our girls, in the morning. When we get to school, I'm going to describe something that all of you are, many of you as parents are familiar with. We get to park in a spot, but not for too long. It's called the drop-off zone, so that the girls come out of the car, and before long I will drive away. Now I know that many of us as parents we do that often and often. We do it every day. Some of us actually have to drop our kids in the drop-off zones on multiple drop-off zones. What I mean by that is, you know, in the school where our kids attend, they actually have the high school section. It has its own drop-off zone, and then the primary section. Some of you have kids in various schools, so you drop one here, and then you move to the other side, you drop one, and then you move to the other side, and you drop another. But you have been doing very well, because at the end of the day, you remember to collect everyone, you know, and take them back home. So there are drop-off zones in school. I just want you to picture for a moment that there are also drop-off zones in life. There are places where we get to and some people have to They come out from the vehicle. You know, there are several metaphors that the Bible used to describe life and following Christ. Life is described as a test. Life is described as a trust. Life is also described as a temporary assignment. Life is also described as a travel, a journey. And we are in this journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a believer, you are in a vehicle, and the driver is Jesus. Jesus is the one driving the vehicle of your life if you're a believer. Now, but the interesting thing is that there are drop-off zones along the way. Now, the one that is driving is not the one that decides to actually drop you off. But from time to time, it will ask you whether you want to come out or you want to get off the vehicle. And that's what we have come to in this particular story, John chapter number 6. We have come to a drop-off zone. And Jesus is going to be asking his disciples, do you want to stay or would you like to get off? Now, make no mistakes about this. Jesus is a great pastor. He was a great shepherd when he was here in the flesh. And I believe he's still the greatest pastor that anyone could ever wish for. If Jesus were to be here in person, I have no doubt that he would be the greatest pastor. He would be the greatest shepherd. But I also have no doubt that his church will probably not be the largest. Why? Because when he was on the earth, when he was here in physical form, his church or his followership was not necessarily the largest. As a matter of fact, there were people along the line who had to get off his vehicle as he was driving them in this journey called life. I want to speak to you this morning on a message I've titled Drop-Off Zones. Drop-Off Zones. Let me give you an idea of what has just happened here. Jesus got into a particular point, a particular place, and he asked his disciple this question. It's in John chapter number 6, verse 67. Do you also want to go away? Do you also want to go away? Now, Jesus, in this particular instance, was not doing what some of us will do when we try to guilt trip people in order for them to stay. We really don't want them to go, but we use the words to let them know that, do you mean you're going to leave me as like now? Really? You want to go? And then the person will say, no, I'm going to stay. Jesus, in this instance, was not trying to ask for the sympathy of the disciples. He wasn't trying to guilt trip them to make a decision to stay with him. He was only asking a question about whether they would like to get off the vehicle, because everyone is actually doing it now. You might as well want to go with them. Prior to this particular point in time, there were many people who were following Jesus. There were a lot of people who actually came to meet him at the crusade. But by the time he would finish with them, it appeared that everyone was going away. And so Jesus asked his disciples, do you also want to go? Because this is a beautiful window of opportunity if you don't want to stay in this vehicle. Make no mistakes, people of God. Jesus wants us to be in this vehicle with him until the end. But also, he doesn't want you and I to stay in that vehicle a day longer than we actually desire to do so. It's not one of the ways we pastors actually shepherd the people. We just want everyone to stay. Every pastor that has pastored a church for more than 5 minutes will tell you that they love people. And so they want people to be around them. They want people to stay with them. They want people to be in their church. They want people to be part of their ministry. They want people to be involved in the work, you know, together with them. And pastors usually get very sad when people leave church. Pastor gets depressed when people leave church. Sometimes there have been, unfortunately, extreme occasions when the entire self-image and self-worth of pastors has been dented a major blow such that they want to quit ministry because people have left their church. We have had our own share of it as pastors, and if you are a member of, if you are a leader of any organization, you will know that, you know, there is one thing that is very constant. People leave from time to time. As pastors, we have had our own share of it, such that people at some point will want to go. People will just want to leave. Sometimes it is done in a way that is honoring to the pastors. Sometimes it is a way that left you, that leaves you hanging to begin to ask questions. What happened? You know, why did he go? I thought things are going great, you know. And the ones that actually drive a lot of pastors and crazy is a situation where people actually leave the congregation and you have the opportunity to actually speak to them. And they say, why did you go? Say, no reason. Really, no reason. So why did you go? No, there is nothing. And, you know, the pastor is hot in his heart. Maybe the church member is also hot. Now, I bring that in here just to let you know that Jesus is certainly not one of those people that wants to keep people in his church for longer than they will desire to. By the way, there have been instances, very few instances, for us as pastors, when people have actually left the church and it was like a party, as in we celebrated. I don't want you to hear that, but that's the truth, you know. There are instances that we've had this exchange of communication with some of our pastor friends, that some people will leave the church and they will say, Father, thank you. You know, thank you for taking that man or that woman to another church. We just pray for their souls. Lord, just take them to that next one, please, Lord. You know, but that's the exception. It's not the rule. The rule is that when people leave, you know, because you're so connected with them, because you have shared, life together, it's just normal for people to feel bad. You know, one of the things that pastors are usually taught is the fact that, look, the sheep of God, they are the sheep of God. They are not your property. They are not my property. They are not the property of the pastor. So if the master shepherd, the bishop of our soul, desires to take one person away from your congregation to another, so be it. Let the person go and then just focus on the people that God has given to you. Anyway, I'm doing a pastor's training, you know, this morning for some people. Maybe it's you, maybe it's you. But it's important that we know this is where Jesus was. But in this particular situation, Jesus was not part of. As a matter of fact, he was the one that was asking his disciples, is it a good place for you to get off this vehicle? This is the drop-off zone. Would you like to go? Now, and that's very sad, because if you actually notice the way this chapter started and the way it ended, it's like diametrically opposed, you know, situation. It started by introducing us to the fact that Jesus was actually being sought after by many people. The Bible says multitudes actually came following Jesus. So how come it ended with people deserting Jesus? The multitudes followed him. In fact, as a matter of fact, at a particular point in time in verse number 15, they actually wanted to make Jesus king. It was that good. You know, Jesus was having it really great. And they were, the Bible says they were seeking Jesus, verse number 24 of chapter number 6. Look at what it says. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into the boat and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. That was the way it started. There was a multitude, and multitude in this instance will be safe to say they were thousands, because later the multitudes actually got fed with bread, loaves of bread and fishes, and the Bible says they were 5,000, just counting men. Conservatively, Bible scholars have put the figure of the people that were fed by Jesus on that day to about 15,000-20,000, you know, just to be conservative. And so this was a great number of people that wanted Jesus. But at the end of the day, Jesus has lost so many people that there was no other person with him other than the apostles, and then he had to ask the apostles. Do you want to stay or do you want to go? Why is it so? Because Jesus actually does not want a person to stay longer than he will desire to. His position is always a voluntary one. In other words, you admit him voluntarily, you stay with him voluntarily. You remember what the Bible says, Revelation chapter number 3, I stay at the door and I knock. That's his position. It is the devil that badges in on people and sleep on their sofa without asking questions. When it comes to Jesus, he asks questions. Do you want to stay or do you want to go? Now, let me give you a background to this story. It's a beautiful story. I will encourage you to read it, you know, maybe later today or in the course of the week. Great multitude followed him in the beginning of the chapter because of his signs. Jesus was demonstrating signs, and the Bible says the great number of people followed him. They wanted more of the signs. Then he performed this marvelous great sign. He multiplied bread and fishes, and wow, the people were like, this is beautiful. Multiplied bread and fishes, and they started saying to him, this is the prophet who is to come. In other words, you are the one that we've been waiting for. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 has already previously told them that I will raise a prophet according to the status of Moses. I'm just paraphrasing. Who is going to lead you, is going to feed you. And so when they saw Jesus coming in that manner, they felt this is the prophet that we've been waiting for. Of course, they love the bread, they love the fish, and they felt, look, if we have somebody like this who is going to provide in this, then problem solved, you know, because there is no need to begin to look for bread and fish. By the way, it was not just a little bit, it was so much that they actually had to gather up the remnant, 12 baskets full. That means they were so filled up, and they actually took, I will imagine they would take some takeaways, and there was still left over. So that was the way it started. And so they felt, look, there was no reason to look for any other king. Let's just make him king, King Jesus. I mean, how cool will it be to have a king who is able to manufacture all of your bread and all of your fish just in the twinkling of an eye? Just bring it to the table, you know. Everything is just ready. Everything is just set. You ask for rice, the king does this. Rice comes. You ask for, you know, talk about it. It does like this. It comes. That's going to be a great king. And it's not like you're going to be struggling to eat enough food to feed yourself. You're going to have abundance. So they wanted to make him king. So when they came to where Jesus was, it's a long story. So Jesus had performed this miracle on this side of the sea. And so Jesus actually got his disciples into the boat to go to the other side of the sea. They saw Jesus asking his disciples to get into the boat and go into the other side of the sea. Jesus did not go with them. And they knew it was late at night. So when they went home, they saw Jesus on this side of the sea, and they saw him seeing off, as it were, his disciples into the boat to go to the other side of the sea. So the following morning, you know, like you and I will do naturally, I mean, the digestive system has taken over. All the bread and the fishes of yesterday has been taken over. Some of them flushed through the usual part, you know, pathway, you know, as well as I do. And then they came. We woke up the following morning and they were hungry. And they said, oh, look, let's go to the same place where we got, the bread. And it was good. It was yummy. It was beautiful. Let's just go there. So when they got there, they didn't see Jesus there. Jesus was not there. Apparently, what had taken place was that Jesus had actually gone to the other side. He didn't need the boat. He walked. And for whatever reason, he got to the other side. I don't want to go into that details now. So when they didn't see Jesus on this side, the Bible says they went to the other side. And then they saw Jesus. And they said, oh, Jesus, Master, when did you come here? You know, that's exactly what the Bible says. You know, they asked him that question. When did you arrive here? We thought you were on this other side, and then we were looking for you, and you have come to this side. Look at what he says in verse 25. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Now, they did not prepare for what they were going to hear next. And this is one of the reasons why I believe if Jesus were to be pastoring a church today, he is definitely not going to have one of the largest churches, you know. It says to them in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, But because you ate of the loaves and you were filled. Oh, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. Jesus did not just call these guys, you know, bread seekers. He looked at them straight to their faces. I know you're looking for me, but you're not looking for me for the right reason. You're looking for me because you had bread yesterday. Your situation was taken care of. You know, your finances was, you know, taken care of. You know, your health was taken care of. You know, your relationship was taken care of. And so that's why you have come today. You want to have more of what you've got, what you had yesterday. And then he will be giving them an invitation. And this is the invitation that actually started a kind of a cascade of events that will drive many people away from him. Look at what he says, verse 27. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. So Jesus gave this invitation. Now, the people were not impressed about that, and they reminded Jesus. They said, look, our fathers were provided manna in the desert. You know why they're asking Jesus about that and telling him about that? Because they were saying, Jesus, look, in the wilderness, what happened was that Moses actually fed the people not just for one day. He fed them for 40 years. You just did it just one day and you are like feeling like a G. You have not even scratched the surface of what Moses did. And we told you that you are the prophet we are expecting in the manner of Moses. And Jesus was going to respond to them. You know, in other words, these guys thought that since it started yesterday, it might as well continue for at least the next 40 years, you know. So there is no need to actually save up for food, you know. You can just come and have whatever you've got. At least bread and fish will be available. Maybe after a week, they will say, look, we've had enough of bread and fish. Let's change it to something else. Don't you have salad? You know, just bring that up. You know, that's exactly what happened in the wilderness. You know, they murmured and they complained. They said, look, we've been having this manna for too long. Manna every time. Is there not anything else that God can provide? You know, oh, I crave for the, you know, the onion, the garlic, the cucumber that we had in Egypt, you know. You know, and Jesus, so they were telling Jesus, you only did it for one day. You still have a long time to go. Jesus will answer them and say, look, the bread that you had, you know, you might have thought that it was Moses that provided it. No, it wasn't really Moses that gave you that bread. That bread was actually given by my Father. Look at what he says in verse number 32. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives you life, or that gives life to the world. In other words, the bread you had, interestingly, was actually not provided by Moses. You were surprised about seeing the manna come down from heaven, just like Moses was. As a matter of fact, the miracle was taking place the same time that you are witnessing it, as well as Moses was witnessing it. Moses was a spectator to that miracle, just like you were, you know, just like your fathers were. And then he gave them the invitation again, I am the bread of life. Now, this is what cracked them up. I am the bread of life. If you're going to live, you're going to have to eat me. You're going to eat me. I am the bread of life, and you're going to eat me. You know, you're going to eat of my flesh. You're going to drink my blood. Say, is this man going to convert us to cannibals? You know, what is he talking about? You're going to eat my bread. You're going to drink my blood. Now, what was Jesus talking about? The next couple of verses will explain it, that Jesus was talking about the fact that they needed to put their trust in him. And that in putting their trust in him, he said, believe in me. Believe in me means believe in my claim as being the Son of God. In other words, believe that that I am God. I am God in the flesh. And also believe in my mission. Don't just believe in my claim, also believe in my mission. And my mission is just one, not two, to give life. I didn't come to give bread. I came to give life. I didn't come to serve you breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I came to give you something much more than that. Now, let me make something clear, because somebody is going to say, well, it appears Jesus was upset because these people just came because they were seeking him just to gain something from him. And then by extrapolation, some people will say, Jesus doesn't want you to come to him seeking anything. He just wants you to come to him, to love him just as he is. You know, that sounds cool. That sounds religious, but it's not true. Jesus, you know, the bone of contention here was not that they were seeking Jesus for something. The bone of contention here was that they were seeking Jesus for something inferior to what he actually came to offer them. So Jesus had no problem with people seeking him for something. But he has a problem with people having this infantile pursuit of the things that is inferior to the real thing that he came to deliver. And that was the problem here. The bone of contention was that they were looking for something that was just temporal, ephemeral, that was transient. And Jesus was actually had brought something that was going to last them not just in the life then, but in the life to come. An eternal life. And that's why he says, you need to eat this bread and drink this blood, which is my sacrifice. This is my work. This is the reason why I came. He said, I am the living bread. Look at what he says in verse number 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread we came from heaven, not as your father had the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Now, look, before you begin to give a knock to these guys, I'm not sure we would have acted too differently if we were part of the crowd that day, because Jesus was speaking something that was offensive to their understanding as Jews. I mean, eating the flesh of humans and drinking their blood was something that a Jew would naturally detest. And Jesus was inviting them to come and do this. So the people from that point stopped following him. Many people turned away. And they did not follow him henceforth. Now, let me make it clear to us, people of God. The call of Jesus to us is twofold. And this is actually where I'm going. And that is why it is important for us to make a determination of where we start with following Jesus right now. Because not too many, often and again, we're going to come to a point where we're going to get to this drop-off zone. And this question is going to ring. Do you want to stay? Or do you want to get off? And it is important that you and I answer that question before we get to that moment, because our answer to that question will determine whether we're going to still stay on board or we're going to get off. So it is important that we settle that question immediately if you have not done so. If you have not answered that question, I'm putting it out to you today that you need to answer the question about commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because sooner or later, you're going to come to a point, the drop-off zone, where that question is going to be asked of you. The call of Jesus is twofold. There is a call to come, and there is a call to commit. There is a call to come to him, and there is a call to commit to him. Matthew chapter 1, verse 11, verse 28 says this. Come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the first call. It is a call to come. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He goes ahead and says, take upon yourself my yoke and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. That's the second call. The second call is not now to come, is now to commit. Take up my yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That talks about a commitment. So it is good that you have come, but I don't just want you to come and just stay at that superficial level of getting rest from me. I actually want you to learn how to access this rest by making a commitment to me. That's the one that we usually have trouble with. Those guys don't have trouble coming to eat bread, but that's just the first call. May I say to you, people of God, the first call is important, it's great, and God still gives that call till today. But he doesn't just want you to stop at that level. The first call is for you to have enough confidence in him to know that he has the ability and the capability to manufacture the second aspect of the call by the reason of your commitment. The bread was not supposed to be the end of the matter. It was supposed to be the beginning of the matter. An entrance into a relationship, a call to a set of a deeper relationship with God. Come unto me, all you that are labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's where we want to stop. But Jesus says, no. Now that you have come, you have eaten the bread. You love the bread? Yes, Daddy, I love the bread. Oh, you really love the fish? Yes, Lord, I love the fish. Okay. Now that you have eaten the bread and the fish, can I ask you to come into a much deeper relationship of actually eating my flesh and drinking my blood? Can I ask you to come into a relationship where you will put your faith and confidence in what I claim to be, or who I claim to be, and what I claim to have come to do? Can you put your confidence in that? And that is the part that we have trouble. Now, we don't have trouble coming to God to receive our healing, our miracles, you know. All right, so we're talking about a call to come and a call to commit. So Jesus is asking people to come, but he doesn't want us to stay at that level. He wants us to commit. He doesn't have trouble with supplying our needs, but he has trouble when the only reason why we come to him is because of our needs. You know the reason why? Because as long as we get our needs sorted, then we're going to discard him. And he doesn't want that. He wants us to be in a relationship with him to the point that we discover something deeper, eternal life. Eternal life. Not a physical life, not a biological life that the eating of the bread will give, but an eternal life that only Jesus is able to give. Can I say something? Physical bread could be given by anyone. As a matter of fact, do you know that the devil is able to give you physical bread if that is going to cause a destruction of the soul? The devil doesn't have any trouble with giving people physical bread, you know, physical things, as long as it is going to lead them to the destruction of their soul. You know, that's why the devil showed Jesus the entire kingdom of the world. He said, everything has been delivered to me, and I can give it to anyone. Just take a bow, and you have it. But there is one thing that only Jesus is able to give, and that's eternal life. The only problem is that we have access to that eternal life through our faith in his person. Not in his person to pay our next bill. Not in his person to fix our marriage problem. Not in his person to deal with with our employment issue. But in his person, because he is the person of God, and he has come to do something, which is to give eternal life. And that's what the problem is here. So the multitude, the thousands of people that came yesterday to eat, they decided they were going to leave. But Jesus didn't have any problem with that. The next set of people are the disciples. Don't forget, it's not only the multitude that actually walked away from Jesus at this drop-off zone. His disciples actually also walked away from him. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" Look at what the Bible says. Jump to verse number 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. In my opinion, this is actually the sad part of the story. You know why? It's very sad. These people did not come because of the bread. It is easy for us to assume that they had been the followers of Jesus before this bread came yesterday. And that's why the Bible refers to them as disciples. Disciples talks about followers, learners. So they didn't just come because there was bread yesterday. The multitudes have all gone now because they didn't want any of this, eating the flesh of any human being. They love the bread they had yesterday. That's good enough for them. You know, they don't want anything more. Just give us what you gave us yesterday. Don't give us anything different, you know. But these disciples didn't come because of that. So it is easy for us to assume that they have been part of the ministry of Jesus. But at this point in time, the Bible says they said no, not any further. That is the sad part of the story. Now, the question is, why would a disciple who has been following Jesus, maybe for months, maybe even for years, all of a sudden come to a point where he says, no, I'm not doing any further. Look at what the Bible says. Therefore, many of his disciples, verse 60, when they heard these things, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Why did they leave? Simply, they got offended. They were offended by the situation. Now, how come they got offended? Beautiful question. Because they no longer understood what was going on. And many believers today are getting offended at Christ simply because they can't understand what is going on any further. They look at the picture of their life. It used to make sense, but it doesn't seem to be making sense. Things are not tied. It doesn't seem to be tidying up now. You know, they look at their finances. They look at their, you know, their relationship. They look at their work. They look at their pursuit of employment and their career. It doesn't seem that it's making sense anymore. You know, it doesn't seem that Jesus actually knows what he's doing about this situation. So what then happens? They get offended because they don't understand what's going on. May I tell you, people of God, that following Jesus does not have to happen only because you have an understanding of everything that is going on. That's why we call it the walk of faith. That's why we call it the walk of faith. Because it is important that you know that you are committed to following Jesus, not because everything in your life makes sense. You're following Jesus because of his claim, who he said he is and what he says he will do. Not because it's everything, no, the 2 + 2 is getting equal to 4 in your life. No, that's not what he says. So they got offended simply because they were not offended because there was no bread. They were not offended because the fish stopped. They were offended because they did not understand what Jesus was talking about. Just like we have people in our generation who don't understand what is taking place in their lives and so they walk away. It is so sad. We have been pastors for a couple of years and we have been pastors enough for long enough to see people actually walking away, not just from church, but from the faith. And oftentimes it comes to this point of, I don't understand what's going on in my life anymore. And I don't think Jesus himself even understands how to fix what is going on in my life. And then they walk away. The beauty of it is that some of them make their way back to Jesus. The sad part is many of them don't make it back to Jesus. Jesus then turned to his disciples. Now, these are the core 12. And he will ask them this question, which I believe that is a question to every one of us. In verse number 67, then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? And I love the response of Peter, you know, because this is actually how you separate a solid disciple from others. But Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have come to believe and know, I love that, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is what Peter is saying in essence. We may not understand everything that is going on, and that's okay. But we know something. You are Christ. You are Christ. And because it is impossible to have two Christs, there is no other option for us. We are committed to this. We are committed to you. And it has nothing to do with whether we understand everything that is taking place or not. Because we have come to know you are Christ. People of God, as I round up this morning, I want to ask you, have you come to this conclusion based on your understanding of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or if tomorrow anything happens to your health, to your finances, to your relationship, it's going to come to a point where you say, look, I don't understand what's going on here. Can you please drop me off? I've had enough. I'm asking that question because Jesus really wants you to stay in this vehicle. He has a destination in mind. He has a plan when he invited you in. But he will also still very much respect your decision. And he's not going to beg anyone to stay in the vehicle for a day longer than they desire to do. I am challenging you, people of God. This destination or this vehicle is taking you to the best destination. It's the destination that will guarantee you life here and here and in the hereafter. Stay in. Because you're going to have opportunities along the line to come off. Because there are many drop-off zones before we get to the end. I want you to reserve in your heart, people of God, that Jesus is not just one of the options. He's your only option. And everything you cannot be in him should go to hell. I share this testimony many times ago, many times from here, but I will share it again. I was walking in a particular nation, and one of the requirements to get the job in that particular nation was to give the government the impression that you are in a relationship, or you're married rather to a local, you know, to a citizen of that country, because I wasn't a citizen of that country. And it came to the point where we were going to make a decision. We had colleagues who did not even find it difficult to make that decision. Was it just to submit some papers and say, I'm married to this person? No problem. I can marry 10 people in this place as long as I have the right to work. And I remember exactly what I told my colleagues that time. Whatsoever is not going to work for me in my life in this current relationship, because I was married to Puki at that time, you know, she was my only wife and she's still my only wife, okay? I said, whatsoever God is not going to give us in this relationship, let it go to hell. I want you to come to that point in your life where you say, Jesus, I'm making a commitment to you. Whatsoever I'm not going to attain or achieve in my life, because I'm committed to you, let it go to hell. At that point, I can guarantee you that you will stay in this vehicle till the end. Otherwise, unfortunately, you're just a few drop zones away from checking out. Let us pray.